Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
It's Ben Vanel here, Tommy, not getting put off whatsoever by the faces being made on Zoom by our third co-host.
You know, like it's like when... some animals, they say, can recognize themselves in mirrors, and those animals are, like, fascinated by it. Doing these Zoom calls and, like, having that little break from having to do them and now being doing them again, I'm absolutely enamored by how dumb my face looks.
You do do. When I set up the Zoom call, I'm often waiting for a couple of seconds for you to join the room, and when I see your image first flash up on the screen... You're always doing some form of funny little face into the camera, just as it logs on. It's the highlight of my week, honestly.
Everybody loves a guy who keeps doing a joke that never gets a reaction. That's a lovable trait.
We used to often meet up at Tommy's house to record, and Tommy, you have the slowly unfolding or the slowly opening gate. That would be the perfect setup for a lot of physical gags. I guess this is just the version of that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and also, when I click on the join the meeting thing, there's always quite a long time between you getting that notification and letting me in. But I start doing whatever face straight away as I click it, just in case. So I'm sitting there for fucking ages, pulling this quite painful contorted face often. I'm just dedicated to being a piece of shit.
Well, the problem is, and you said no reaction, but the problem is that the way Zoom does it is that you get the video first and then it takes a few seconds for us to get each other's audio. So I often, you know, I let a little chuckle out, but I'm getting a notification, Adam cannot hear you.
Yeah,
so
but
it's truly the perfect format for comedy.
You know what? A little chuckle isn't good enough, to be honest. So I still hold myself accountable for this.
Welcome to the 250th episode of our podcast about Zoom chats and the funny foibles and intricacies of this modern world we live in.
We got a classic segment to start with. New backgrounds. Let's review new Zoom backgrounds to start with. Everyone's over that, right? No one's doing backgrounds anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And I probably got one or two good ones in the holster.
Nah, okay. They're all gone. People aren't doing background checks anymore, which is great for me. And oh, it's all John Malkovich's, and then you look even bolder than him somehow.
Yeah. That's very good.
There we go.
That's very good
that
stuff.
That can be me for this ep.
Oh, great.
But I'll get rid of it. But here we are, boys, 250 beautiful episodes of a beautiful podcast. Mm-hmm. We did it.
Not Who in some ways.
Could have imagined.
In some ways, it's not a true milestone because, I don't know, early on we had like a week or two where we didn't put out an episode. I would say that our fifth birthday, which is coming up, which happens to be technically on my birthday normally.
Yes.
Or that's the first time we recorded
the podcast
it.
And you both will be celebrating your fifth birthday in September this year.
Yep. I'm one of those people who, like, you know, people will pretend they're younger than they are for quite a while. I'm really overdoing it. Be like, yeah, five again, huh, everybody? Wow. Yeah. My fifth birthday yet again.
Yeah, we should start lying about the age of the podcast just so it's like our skill level becomes more impressive. Like a decade in, we're like, yeah, I've only been doing it for about 4 months.
These are all test episodes still at this point. We're just seeing how it goes.
Oh, you heard our latest episode, our pilot episode. Oh, okay, yeah, it's pretty good, I thought, for a... Yeah.
Yeah, 250.
Yeah.
A lot of... big number. actually.
Yeah. Big, you know what? Very big number.
Here in Melbourne, we've heard some bigger numbers lately. 250 is not that impressive at the moment.
Yeah, we'd be praying. We'd be celebrating 250 in that case and in the case of this podcast.
I would love to see a 250 soon.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a number in the paper that 2 weeks ago would have made me absolutely crap my dacks. That'd be a fucking sweet relief at this point.
Yeah, if people don't know, in the rest of the world or whatever, we're in like this happened in between the last one and this time. We're in like an even stricter lockdown now, where there's an 8 PM curfew. You can't leave the house for any reason other than shopping or exercise for 1 hour a day, one person at a time. You know, it's pretty hectic here. So there's at least six more weeks of doing these over the phone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's turbo lockdown. That's the most brutal part. You can't even if
that's
you
what Dan Andrews
someone.
Called it. He called it turbo lockdown.
Well, we were just saying this off air. You gotta take the joy where you can at the moment. Mm-hmm. I've gone back to calling it coronavirus, the fun nickname for it, because the actual technical term is, you know, it's too scary. I'm trying to bring little bits of color into my life wherever I can.
I feel like we know it well enough at this point that we're allowed to use its nickname, I think.
Yeah, I'm calling it the old mate virus because I keep forgetting what the technical term for it is.
Champion virus.
The knackers virus. but here we are celebrating 250 episodes. And of course, you know, most people who listen to a podcast, they listen to multiple podcasts, probably people that listen to shows that have been going for far longer than this. So, of course, we're all familiar with the conventions that come with recording a 250th episode. People listening to this, they're thinking, we know what they're going to cover. We know what they're going to do to celebrate the big 250 because there's a... You know, there's an established podcasting convention of what you do on the 250th episode.
It's a rite of passage, I would phrase it as.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So we are going to talk about all the different ways that the beautiful numbers of 250 are represented across video games.
That's right, everyone.
Fair to say, fellas.
Everyone loves podcasts and their hosts because they get very personal with them. I feel like they get to know them over a number of years, and we're coming up on a big year milestone as well. So what more personal a celebration of our podcast than looking at the number 250 itself and seeing where it pops up across the industry?
A lot of people these days are into looking at the numbers of letters in certain words and drawing conclusions about whether or not there may be a conspiracy involving those words, that sort of thing. You know what I mean? All the fucking idiots who watch Loose Change on YouTube and then didn't grow up. But we're doing essentially that. Through the number 250 and a series of lists of games that relate to the number 250, we will prove that COVID-19 was manufactured in a lab for the express purpose of spreading 5G technology.
And if you're listening to this wearing a tinfoil hat, we just want to let you know that we will be leaving a secret message throughout this episode just for you. So pay very, very careful attention to what we're saying, because there are coded messages in this episode. We are speaking directly to you.
That's right, Tommy. Subscribe to our Patreon.
If you believe deeply in a lot of the conspiracy theories going around the world at the moment, you may find a coded message in this episode. You're a cunt. You may find a coded episode, coded message here in this episode. You're a stupid, dumb cunt. You're ruining the world. You may find a coded message. Who knows? You'll have to dig, though. But you've done your own research and other things. You'll be able to find it.
So we've got a few categories here for how we plan to celebrate and discuss the beautiful number of 250. Mm. And Adam, do you want to kick us off? Do you want to fill the people in about what our first topic is going to be?
Yeah. Should we go big or go small for the first one? You know what that means. I reckon go small to start.
A little one to start with? Okay. Yeah, yeah, we've got a big menu planned, don't we? Let's start with an entree.
Yep.
Exactly. So the first category we'll be doing, celebrating the number 250, is games that cost $2.50. $2.50 Australian, What are the best games available for that price? In front of me, I have a list of games on Steam that cost $250. I've got a list of games in the eShop that cost $250. There's fucking tons of them for some reason. So we're not going to go through all of them, but we'll try and pick out the ones that are the best possible bang for your $2.50.
Mm.
Yep.
And every podcaster, as we mentioned, This American Life did this.
Yep.
It was a weird pivot for them to do it about video games. But almost every podcast that's gotten to the number 250 has to do this. So you may have heard this content somewhere else before. You probably would have heard.
Hopefully they do more episodes of Serial so that we can get an in-depth analysis of all the times that Adnan Syed has spent $2.50 across his lifetime.
He bought a very cheap knife. He bought a little tiny shovel, apparently. He bought something called blood remover.
He went to the payphone at Blockbuster Video and put $2.50 in to make a call. I believe was one of the things. yeah. He confessed.
So I think all of these games from Steam that I'm about to bring up are all on sale at the moment, and that's what's making them $2.50 right now on this website that I've found. So you know, you may have to jump on these bargain opportunities in order to be able to get them for this low price that we're discussing here. But you, for just $2.50 Australian, you could buy Quake Mission Pack 1, Scourge of Armagon. What better direction to send your dollars and cents in? And you can also...
Then for a Mission Pack 4, a game that... I'm assuming if you don't have the game, this mission pack will be completely useless.
Mm. Useless to you. Worthless.
Yeah.
Not even worth $2.50, worth zero in that case. But if you have Quake, which I'm assuming is more than $2.50 because it isn't here, you could also buy, if one mission pack isn't enough for you, well, why not splurge and spend another $2.50 on Quake Mission Pack 2, Dissolution of Eternity?
Mm-hmm.
Those names.
Which would you recommend?
Yeah.
Which would you recommend? Because they're breaking the budget here. If they get both, they're spending a cool $5. So what do you reckon, Knox?
Having,
one or two?
Having genuinely played some of and gotten bored of each back when I played Quake. Yeah. Dude, I've been playing video games for years.
Okay.
I would say don't bother, but because... I think the case with these... So these were both made by a different studio to id. I think they were made by fucking Raven, who went on to do... Hold on. I'm fucking hell. For what was going to be like just a little...
She got her own
silly
sitcom,
little,
right?
Yeah.
Damn it. I was going to say, making these two Quake mission packs... That is so Raven.
Yes, yes. A shame you couldn't say it.
The studio had some behavior that people thought would... No, okay, so the second one was made by Rogue Entertainment. Do something with that, motherfucker. And
Rogue Entertainment.
It's not very Raven at all.
And then the other one...
Were they officially commissioned to do this, or did they just go rogue and do it?
There you go.
Anyway.
I think actually kind of... But, because I was talking and typing at the same time, I typed in Scourge Eternation, which doesn't mean a fucking thing. I think that's a combination of the... It's strange how the brain works. It's strange that I couldn't type out Armagon whilst talking.
What is Armagon?
Anyway, guys...
Well, I'm going to play it after this probably because reminding me of this is... maybe. Okay, that was developed by someone called Hypnotic Software. I'm going to look up who they were. Okay. Oh, you'd know Hypnotic Software from making Sin or Star Trek Elite Force 2. And, of course, Rogue Entertainment were responsible for such classics as Strife and American McGee's Alice. So you know what these people are. So anyway, they're more Quake levels. And they had, some different music in them, I think, that wasn't made by Nine Inch Nails or by Trent Reznor. Still, but this was back in the day. These would have been like DLC, obviously, these days, but this is 96, 97. So they were the sort of thing where I think you could mail in to get a disc, or sometimes they were the big boxes on shelves. You couldn't just download them back then. So I don't know, kind of cool to be able to buy these mission packs now. You can get a lot of id expansions for this. Doom 3, Resurrection of Evil. You know, you fuckers played Doom 3?
No. No.
Played. It was too good for my PC.
Oh,
the flashlights.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. I think it would not run.
I've played every id expansion, I think. Unlike in my real life where it's been my ego that's expanded. Here, I've played every id expansion. Because there's also Quake 2 Mission Pack, The Reckoning, and Quake 2 Mission Pack, Ground Zero.
Fuck.
Very quickly, I started to realize, like, why does every podcast do this with 250? This seems like it's just an annoying list of things that.
And really, like, all of them do dig in onto each specific small expansion pack that they bring up as well. They always spend a good 15 minutes on it. It's very strange. A very strange
every
convention
podcast,
of podcasting.
They always end up having to Google what they actually are, even if they've played them or not. So let's look up some of these other ones that are $2.50. Now, when you're in combat, which is common in video games, what weapons would you say you're normally using? Not a trick question. Answer freely.
Gun?
Yeah, very common.
Yeah.
Sword.
Yep, sword happens quite a lot. Now, let me throw a curveball in here. For just $2.50, you could use as your weapon the weapon of piss in a game called Pee War.
Okay.
I've never thought of it
as being a weapon before.
Mm.
Well, that's because you've not experienced Pee War. Let me give you a little rundown of Pee War. Play Pee Superman and destroy the city and the forest.
Nice.
Yeah. Destroy everything in your sight and avoid the human army attack. You've been pissing on people so much that the army has gotten involved.
Mm-hmm.
It contains a completely open coastal map with a big city, river, you'd imagine it'd be more ocean if it's a coastal, grassland, beach, and forest. They are very excited that they made a forest for this game. There are abundant automatic vehicles, an NPC controlled by AI around the city. You could even snatch cars to drive.
Wow. That's more interesting to me than pissing everywhere, but I guess this is a piss focused game.
Yeah, you got to get your fucking priorities in order, man.
Is this filed under the genre FPS? Or
listen,
no,
listen, mate. Of course it is. Well done.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
If pissing isn't enough for you, you can look around for energy coins. Scattered around, let you gain additional abilities. Flame, machine gun, freezing, energy shield, and bullet time, all of which you can use. Good that they noted you can use the abilities that you get. They will enhance your combat effectiveness. So not only can you piss on people, if someone was pissing on me, I'd be a bit annoyed. If they then whipped out a machine gun, not a good day, I would imagine.
This seems like the kind of game that we are frequently getting like a press release for. You know, do you guys ever check our email? And there's like one company that we've never requested to be on their mailing list.
Yeah.
And without even asking, they don't even ask if we want the review code. They'll just send us the review code for some of the worst sounding games. This sounds like the kind of thing that would show up in our inbox.
I mean, good for them on marketing themselves, but it's very weird when you get an email and you're like, here's a review code for you. And you're like, oh, finally, some recognition from the companies. Yeah. And it's like, hey, in this game, you're trying to have sex at a party. See you later. Bye.
Yeah.
here's the ending of the description. Look out. Humans don't want to die. If the last 6 months have proved anything, it's that. You will be strongly resisted by the army. Blah, blah, blah. Did you win? Maybe. But they have discovered your secret. So you will encounter the most difficult enemy in the end. Chlamydia. Makes being really difficult. Completely takes away your ability to do it without any pain. Anyway, they don't say chlamydia. In this, and then all caps, P-War. So there's where your 250 could go.
Okay, that sounds like a good time.
I'm going to start a conspiracy theory that the coronavirus is like a jellyfish bite, and if you have it, you just need to get pissed on. I'm just going to be out there in the street just whizzing everywhere going like, trust me, guys, I'm a medical professional.
Well, mate, let me tell you, they will send the army after you if that blurb is anything to go by.
But if
good thing I've got my machine gun as well.
Exactly. Yes. If you see a coin while you're out there, you can start letting loose. There's a few other ones, obviously, but I want to point out one more major theme here that there's a fair number of these. So I'll read out, I guess, all of the names of them. We'll all be familiar with the series, and I can't believe that they're actually this cheap. But you can buy, it seems like, every edition of the classic series Hentai Babes.
Oh, great. Oh, that's on sale. It's a shame I already own them all. Wow. But just refresh. Yeah, I'd love to rehear some of those titles.
Well, you correct me if I'm wrong that this is all of the titles, Ben, but you've got Hentai Babes in Public, which is a classic. I hate to have such a long theme of peeing on people, but you can play Hentai Babes in Public if you want. Oh, of course, Hentai Babes, Servants.
Oh, yes. Yes.
If there's one thing about hentai that I always have a problem with, it's that the women depicted in it aren't subservient enough. So luckily...
Yeah, the free will is a real turn-off. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yep. Absolutely. So, that's one of the worst things I've ever heard come out of a person's mouth. Now, if you want to know about one of the worst things I've ever seen come out of a person's mouth, you could play Hentai Babes Fantasy, which really, the realism of the other Hentai Babes games often gets in the way of the content. And then, of course, there's the classic Hentai Babes Broken Vows, in which, you know, the Hentai Babes are less faithful to you in that one.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
And then one that sounds like it maybe is like a real-time strategy game or something, Hentai Babes Nations. That's the strangest title to me. Which is your favorite, Ben?
I suspect, well, I haven't played Nations, but I do suspect it's more about perhaps the nations that the Hentai Babes are from rather than any sort of nation-conquering real-time strategy element.
Sure.
Just a supposition. I have not played this one. I have, of course, have played every other one. It's not listed there, but my favorite is Hentai Babes P-War. That's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, they would never put that one on sale. Ah, fuck. I've got to log in to see this content, apparently, but I'm not logged in.
So, Adam, this, that 250...
I can read it. Sorry, I've just right-clicked on Hentai Babes Nations and I've done a search on Google. I can't read the full description on Steam because I'm not logged in, and for some reason there's an age gate. But I just want to read the little bit of the description that shows up on Google. Hentai Babes Nations. Clothed to nude adult puzzle game. One hand playable.
Oh, God.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I like that.
Oh, God. God damn.
I mean, sorry, Toby. What were you going to ask?
That's kind of true of most puzzle games, though. I mean, you could whack it while playing Tetris if you really wanted to. It's rare that there's any of them that you're using full dexterity in both hands at any given time. My question was, I just wanted clarity on when you say that this is $2.50, is that $2.50 per installment, or is this a $2.50 for the entire Hentai Babes collection?
Per installment.
Okay. This isn't like a box set deal. I was going to say that's that we'd have to recommend that one based just purely on the insane value on offer. But yeah, if it's per installment.
No, yeah, you're looking at more. I mean, you've got to pay a monthly fee to sign up for their OnlyFans. Fucking shit. I'm trying to log into Steam here, but it's asking me to fucking verify myself because I'm on a computer I don't normally use for it.
It seemed like you got bowled over before by having to verify your age. Just your birthday.
I told you, I'm 5. Here we go. Nearly there. I just want to get the description for Hentai Babes Nations. Ooh, shit. I just saw what the main picture in. And it is a drawing of, yes, a hentai babe, but she is white as hell and she is wearing a Native American headdress. So I may not dig deeper than we have already.
Yes. But hell yeah.
Actually, I could give you some more information. It's a cheat-enabled
Hentai
puzzle
Babes
game.
Jamiroquai.
Solve to reveal hentai babes in various states of undress and sexual situations. You've got 12 horny hentai babes for the low, low price of $2.50. You've got 60 scenes from full clothed to nude. You've got more in coming updates, and coming is just spelt normal. You've got, this is highlighted, awesome, underlined, bold, and 3 exclamation marks, one hand playable. Slideshow mode allows visiting all hentai babes once their puzzles are completed. But can you ever really complete the puzzle that is woman? And you've got an energetic soundtrack for lasting spiritual release. There is no time limit in the game. Take your time and enjoy. Well, as long as the time limit was longer than 18 seconds, I'd have been fine.
Can we please make sure you list in the episode description of this episode, Knox, that this is one hand listenable, this podcast.
Finally.
Yes.
We've finally done a one hand app.
I'm going to go through, there's like a picture on the Steam page as well of the achievements in the game. Some of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to go through them from bottom to top. I'm going to go through them in reverse. Okay. You are my fave. That's one of them. Obviously, you've impressed one of the hentai babes a lot. Mm-hmm. Hardcore is another. I don't know what that'd be about. Mm. Semi-pro. So I'm assuming semi is. You've got apprentice. And then this is the one that I am questioning what it might be. The first achievement that you can get in Hentai Babes Nations is called First Blood.
Ooh. Ooh. Is that a Rambo reference? An evocative two words. Aye.
In most other contexts, you would think of Rambo first, but this, you know. Anyway, so there's all the Hentai Babes games that you can get. That's kind of the picture of what you're getting on Steam for your $2.50. Do you want to quickly move over to the Switch eStore and go through a couple of $2.50 games there?
Yes.
Cool. Well, the first game is called Tiny Hands Adventure. And no, it isn't about Donald Drumpf.
President Cheeto, you mean?
The Cheezel in Chief. They don't have Cheezels over there. You got a bunch of other ones. Man, the Switch shop is even more fucked up than looking at those hentai fucking games on Steam. There's so much bullshit
it's
on here.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's really brutal.
You got a whole bunch of DLCs for various things. A lot of it just looks like the sort of standard. There's a game called Sniper. There's a game called Slot that is just a slot machine. There's a game called Peasant Knight. You know exactly what you're getting with all of these. Home Escape. That'd be fun to play right now.
Yeah.
Imagine getting to do that in real life. Anyway.
Well, I did a bit of a look on the App Store. I wanted to try and find a mobile game that was $2.50. And it's very hard to sort by price on the Apple App Store. So I just did a bit of a... I kind of scrolled through and it's I couldn't find any games that were exactly $2.50.
No,
so what
right.
I did instead was I got one game that was $1.50 and then another game that was $1. So the $1 game that I got
is called
24 mini games. So I thought that's pretty good. It's pretty good value for money.
Damn.
And
yeah,
I'll just talk you through what
50.
You're getting in your
that'd be just under 10
what
cents
you're getting
per
in
game.
Your, here's what you're getting for 99 cents for your 24-in-1 mini games. 2048, Blocky Bird, Block Run, Brick Break, Brick Fall, Car, Card Sort, Cave Flyer, Chubby Chicken, Kong, Drive, Drop, Frog Road, Hacky Sack, Hop, Invaders, Snake, Stick Flip, Stick Jump, Tennis, Tiles, Tower, Troopers, and Walk the Line.
There is so someone.
The movie starring Joaquin Phoenix is tacked on at the end.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
For,
it's just wow. At the end. Yeah, okay.
You saying,
just 99 cents.
Yeah,
you saying all
value.
Of those words in a row has like made someone listening to this stand up and become activated to go and carry out an assassination just then.
I also got a game for $1.50 called The Moron Test. Which seems to
does
be
it, when you open it, does it say, "Hey, you lost, buddy. You bought this."
Yeah. It seems to be a bunch of like, kind of like you know those kind of like riddle puzzle kind of things. Like, you know, you got to cross the river on this boat, and the fox can't be on with chicken at the same. You know, things of that nature.
What cup size do you reckon this hentai babe is? And if you answer it, you get to see.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I got asked, it was like a puzzle of, you know, which size animal would make it into this thing. And I answered and it told me that I'd failed. Oh. And I deleted the app in pure rage immediately after. So that is my review of what you can get for $2.50 on the App Store.
Huh. Pretty dumbass review there, honestly. You sound like a bit of a moron to me. Now, if we were going to have to, I don't know if this was the point of this, but if we were going to rank or suggest which games are most worth your time and your money, your $2.50, I don't think in some ways any of them are. The Quake expansions, maybe. Quake's fun. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
if we were going to give a recommendation, which of those games would you say, what $2.50 game would you say is most worth people's time and money?
I mean, $2.50 is a real minefield of a price because you might get lucky and find an absolute banger that's on sale for, you know, that's got some incredible slash discount on it. But
Scourge of Armageddon?
Find that. You're going to have to wade through a lot of shit to potentially find that. It's, if you're on that much of a budget, I don't think you should be looking for a game.
Yeah.
If $2.50 is all you have to spend.
I think in that case then...
Get a can of Coke.
I would have to recommend the game that included Walk the Line. That movie was nominated for Oscars. I believe Reese Witherspoon won for Best Supporting Actress. Joaquin Phoenix nominated, obviously. Costume design was nominated. It's an incredible movie, and if you can get that, and also Frog Road... under $200.50, that's the bargain of the show so far. But we might come across an even more a even better value proposition as the show goes on. Who knows?
Well, I hear the frog a-coming down the road, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I was a toad. This sort of rhymes. I'm stuck in Toadstool prison.
I would say definitely don't buy hentai games. Those games sound fucking hot as fucking shit. But you can draw your own hentai babes. Hentai babes are free.
Yes.
Yeah,
true.
Save the $2.50. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Buy a pencil. Shove it up your ass. that'd be just as good.
All right, should we go into the next category?
Yeah.
Wow, we spent half an hour on $2.50 games.
I know. I know.
But I feel like we covered them very comprehensively.
True, yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
So what's next, Tommy?
Well, what about we pivot into something that when we say $2.50, there are, of course, $2.50 sent video games.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Two video games starring the rapper and I suppose actor 50 Cent.
And you don't even have to suppose it.
Mm.
He's a true actor. I think he was nominated for an Oscar, wasn't
he? Bulletproof? 50 Cent?
Or that movie was. Or was it? Am I fucking crazy?
You might be completely wrong.
Yeah, maybe. What was that movie called?
For song or something? Because that's always a pretty sparse category. I guess if he did a song for the soundtrack.
He was nominated for a Grammy, Billboard Music Awards, some American Music Awards, BET Awards. The Oscars is not coming up on the Wikipedia page of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson.
Damn. Well, I wonder if he won a game award for either 50 Cent Bulletproof or 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Yep.
Those are the two. I think I speak for all of us when I say haven't played these games.
I'm not sure if I'm willing to align myself with that political viewpoint. but I do have to admit it is true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not through, you know... Lack of die trying. It's more that they're both sort of third person shooter things that were coming out at a time where there was a big fucking glut of those. So the fact I never liked 50 Cent either, especially 50 Cent Bulletproof came out on the PS2, the PSP, and the Xbox in 2005. And 2005 was right at the peak of where I couldn't give a shit about 50 Cent, mainly because I hated In the Club. I thought that was a really boring song. His style of rapping.
I never liked that song.
Just very slow, very, very pulled back. that it never really appealed to me from what I've heard.
Well, I was a big fan, but I didn't own a PS2 or an Xbox, so I had my little face pressed up against the glass of EB Games, looking at both copies on both platforms, and just had a tear rolling down my eye. I would have loved to play this game.
Walking down a cold, wintry street on Christmas Day, looking at all the kids unwrapping their copies of 50 yes. Cent Bulletproof.
Yeah.
Looking down at your own copy of Poor Kid Simulator. And you could wishing that you could be in there. So you
well, since none of us have played it, do you want to go through the synopsis of these games?
So even though I haven't played them, yeah, I've watched some of them because the concept is very funny of both of them.
Yeah,
without getting too far ahead of ourselves.
So, yeah, I'll talk you through the synopsis from the Wikipedia page of, first of all, 50 Cent Bulletproof. So here we go. 50 Cent finds himself being dragged back into the criminal underworld, taking on the most dangerous criminal organizations in New York City.
The police?
50 Cent... 50 Cent gets a call from his former cellmate and friend K-Dog, letting him know that he is in trouble. 50 Cent gets his gun and leaves, getting his crew together. Rappers Lloyd Banks, The Locksmith, Young Buck, and Tony Yayo, a demolition expert.
Tony Yayo, thank you very much.
Tony Yayo, sorry. The crew goes to Queens, where they see K-Dog being physically assaulted by unknown masked assailants. After killing multiple assailants, 50 Cent is shot 9 times and left for dead.
Not again!
50 Cent... 50 Cent is brought to Doc Friday, a former licensed doctor until he started writing prescriptions for himself.
After That's recovering, so stupid 50 as Cent well. Goes... That just means that Doc Friday is a friendless doctor because they all write each other prescriptions.
It just means
that he's a bit of a loner.
After recovering, 50 Cent goes to Detective Aaron McVicker, a corrupt cop, for information. McVicker agrees to help 50 Cent in exchange for money. 50 Cent and Lloyd Banks go to see K-Dog at a safe house, guarded by masked assailants and federal agents.
That's such a weird way to describe hiring a person. McVicker agrees to help 50 Cent in exchange for money.
Even the explanation of what a transaction is clunky.
Yeah. 50 Cent hires Detective Aaron McVicker. End of sentence.
I think, do you wonder, maybe, because there's a guy in this crew called Lloyd Banks, and there's also a guy in the crew who's a locksmith. Do you think those guys don't get along? Or maybe they love each other? I can't tell.
No, I think Lloyd Banks is the locksmith.
Oh.
Yeah. Lloyd Banks
is the
locksmith.
This is a complicated plot.
I'm assuming.
Partially going over my head.
I'm assuming that's where they got the money to hire the detective from as well, was from Lloyd Banks. And then like a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of money from Young Buck.
Yes.
I think you're right, but I do prefer the idea that it's just like these three rappers and then a nameless locksmith and a nameless demolition expert just along for the ride.
No.
Just in case.
Tony Yayo is both a rapper and a demolition expert. Okay. You've got to have a backup plan. If rapping doesn't work out, I go back into demolitions.
In much the same way that I like the idea that there's one guy called Doc Friday and then an unnamed friendless doctor. Where was I?
They discover
K-Dog as well as the federal prosecutor's corpses. 50 gets K-Dog's belongings and brings it back to Bugs, who is able to listen to the messages left on the phone.
By the way, it's
like this Wikipedia description has been written by a fucking an actual child, and just there's no one else in the world that gives enough of a shit to bother editing it and fixing it up and make it like actually legible.
This is someone who was taking notes as they were playing the game. Who is Bugs? Has Bugs been introduced?
No.
No, not in this description.
But you know Bugs. He's able to listen to messages left on the phone. Bugs.
Mm.
I think that's why it's called Bugs. Either that or he's a rabbit.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Bugs.
I do want to point out, it's rich of us to make fun of the person who wrote the description for this game when we're talking about it and relying on the description of this game on Wikipedia.
Yeah. True.
I'm almost as rich as Lloyd K-Dog's Banks by doing that.
The messages say K-Dog was supposed to meet up with Spider, a crystal meth drug dealer, about transport routes.
So at least here's some context. We get a little description of who Spider is, although we probably could have assumed just from the name that he was a crystal meth drug dealer.
Exactly.
Nevertheless.
50 decides to go after Spider and goes to a junkyard to meet up with him. After killing Spider's assailants along with McVicker, he kills Spider. They notice a tattoo.
What the fuck? What happened? That seems like
the one on K-Dog.
No, what happened? Why did he kill Spider, Detective McVicker, and people who were trying to attack Spider?
Mm.
Some shit went down there. I think we need to play through 50 Cent Bulletproof.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a strange kind of like hierarchy of what the person who wrote this has deemed as important plot points. Like, there's a whole sentence dedicated to the act of listening to a voicemail message.
Yeah,
and then
but no,
what seems to be a just absolute bloodbath is just glossed over in about 4 words.
Yeah, double cross.
An explanation of the fact that they were able to listen to messages left on the phone, but he's not seen fit as to explain how or who Bugs is. But whatever. They do notice a tattoo similar to the one on K-Dog, you said.
Yeah.
He cuts Spider's skin with the tattoo on it and gives it to Bugs. The tattoo is traced back to Wu Jiang, a Chinese drug kingpin. 50 kills Wu Jiang in Chinatown and takes his money. The end.
Holy shit.
A happy ending.
That's a... what a huge amount of plot to compress into one sentence, one short sentence. Yep. Holy fuck.
Well,
so there you go.
Damn. Forget it, 50. This is Chinatown. So you'd think after an outing like that, 50 Cent Bulletproof, that was not well received, it's gotten pretty low sort of aggregated scores across the board. It's hovering around 50% type of thing.
50% is the score.
Oh, my fucking God.
Of his game.
You'd think that might be similar as 50 Cent Get Rich or Die Trying was the end of his cinematic career. You might think that 50 Cent Bulletproof would be the end of his video game career. And you would be such a fucking moron failing the moron test if you thought that. Because only 4 years later, 50's back for 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Four year different turnaround time. It must be a pretty big game. Pretty intensive. A lot of, story beats and AI and beautiful graphics, I assume, from a 4 year development time.
You tell me when you
weirdly
hear
enough
what the plot is.
Okay.
Do you want to do? Can I read the plot this time? I got it right in front of me. I just want to point out.
Yep, go for it.
That right underneath it says this section needs expansion, and I agree. The world needs more detail on what exactly took place in 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Maybe they mean that
Xbox 360.
This game needs an expansion, you know, like an expansion released.
Yeah.
Because it's
a $2.50 mission pack.
Yes.
This game.
The candy shop mission pack.
It's set in an urban war zone in an unnamed Middle Eastern country, which.
Whoa.
You know, there's a bunch of people living there. You'd think they'd come up with a name for it, but whatever. They've not bothered yet. Where 50 Cent and G-Unit have been hired much quicker. Maybe that's the bit that needs expansion, where 50 Cent and G-Unit have been given money to perform an activity. They've been hired to play a rap concert there. After the concert, though, the promoter, Anwar, is unable to pay them the $10 million in cash that he promised them. Jesus fucking Christ, that's a lot of money. Is that how much 50 Cent makes? He's pumping that up to look good, right, for this game.
$10 million cash for sure. Yeah,
it's probably inflated, but like you sometimes hear about that, like a big pop star will get paid by like the Prince of Saudi Arabia to perform at their birthday.
Yeah, private gig.
It's like $5 million.
I mean, he's
bucks.
Going into a war zone. He's going into an urban war zone. It's a big risk for him. So you'd want to be financially compensated for that.
Yeah,
if there's any cashed up princes out there who listen to this, we are free and available to do. Private appearances. I'll suck a dick. I don't care, man. $10 million. Holy shit. $10 million.
Podcast. Live podcast in an active war zone. Yeah. The Filthy Casuals boys.
Yes.
With bullets flying over their heads.
Come on, we've bombed before, but blow. Anwar, the promoter, he's not able to pay them $10 million in cash that he promised, but he does relent after being threatened. However, instead of the cash they were promised, he gives them a diamond and pearl encrusted human skull as collateral. And you know you'll be able to sell that on very quickly. People love to buy a human skull covered in diamonds. Mm-hmm. This is stolen by a paramilitary group led by the terrorist Kamal. 50 Cent, with the help of a selected G-Unit partner. The rest of G-Unit is like, fuck off. This is my best friend.
Why would I need all of you when I can just have one?
Please. I killed an entire federal army or something 4 years ago. I'm fine. They decide to go and get it back at any cost, and soon they find out that there is a much bigger enemy than Kamal. Now, I think this is where the plot maybe needs expanding, because that's where it ends.
Okay,
that's
sure.
where it ends. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. What could be a bigger enemy than Kamal?
Two Kamals. this is a great podcast. We all just set up at the same time. Do you want to hear? I just want to point out one of the features. It's a shooter game, and it does a lot of shooter stuff that you can expect. But cash can be used to unlock taunts, each rated by profanity, bragging, and triple X levels. Ooh. So you can buy taunts for 50, I assume, to yell at people, and they've got three different meters of how profane they are, how much 50's bragging in the taunt, and how triple X it is. So I'm assuming that's if he says, I'm going to fuck you with my big dick, that would be number 10 on all of those scales. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That sounds like a fun mechanic.
I like this. I like this little excerpt from the development part of the Wikipedia page. 50 Cent and G-Unit occasionally visited the developers to offer some feedback. Every few months, Vivendi would show them a presentation of the game named as Big Release Builds. One of the late additions were the helicopters, due to 50 Cent's son asking for them during the build's playthrough. That is an unbelievable addition to the work. I mean, fucking you talk about crunch and stuff. Thinking about some guy missing out on seeing his family because 50 Cent's kid looks at the screen and goes, there should be a chopper.
Yeah, I bet there were some profane bragging triple X taunts thrown after they left the office that day. Fuck's this, fucking 25 Cent wants to come in here and fuck us like that. I'm assuming that's 50 Cent's kid's name.
Wow, so unlike Bulletproof, this was got okay reviews.
It's all kind of sevens,
well received,
right?
Yeah. People liked it. Yeah.
Sevens, eights, yeah.
I like I like this little expert from from one of the reviews by Jeff Gerstmann of Giant Bomb, who said the story was mostly nonsense with a lot of half-assed dialogue that's usually delivered by people who sound like they have a plane to catch. Or a helicopter, maybe.
Maybe the reason for that is that this was made by a different studio to the first game. It was made by developed by a company called Swordfish Studios, and
they had to develop the whole game while they were
high quality because God damn it!
Take that! You know when you go to eat a chip and like a seagull will swoop down and take it from your hand?
Oh man,
that's me. I'm the seagull.
Oh man,
you were taking too long.
I've been trying to get that one out for 10 minutes.
You got to ramp it up. You got to be quicker. That'll teach you to wait.
Fuck.
I got that 50 Cent attitude. I'm taking whoever's shit. I just came into Chinatown and I took your shit, motherfucker. I'm 50 Cent.
Tommy, you must be feeling like Spider right now.
I really am. Have my tattoo cut off.
I'm sorry. I stole that low-hanging fruit from your tree.
Yeah. Look, as long as it's out there and the people got to enjoy it, that's all. That's all that really matters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Technically, it's our joke. It's a filthy casuals joke.
It's open source. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I'm the Kamal stealing that gold diamond encrusted skull of a joke from your 50 Cent hands. Anyway, so we've done our due diligence. There and covered the two 50 Cent games as is customary in every podcast 250th episode. Mm-hmm. What next?
What about we talked about games that cost $2.50, and we there were some in there that were okay. We certainly recommended watching Walk the Line, but this is the 250th episode, so surely I don't know if you guys agree. We should be looking at games that cost $250 even.
Ah, NBA 2K21, you mean?
Yes. Now, I had a look on eBay. I look at secondhand games. There's a fair few on there for $250. Nox, I think you've got those up as well, or at least the today's version. Maybe some of them have sold.
Yeah, I've got some of them, but I don't know. I looked at it before on my phone, and this is on a laptop now, and there were more of them on the phone than there are on the laptop for some reason, but I got some.
I've got a few written down. Dancing Stage Universe with Matt for Xbox 360 is one of the $250 games.
Playing a little dancing game?
Yeah. Now, obviously, I don't own an Xbox 360, so that's off the table for me. Nox, with the Infinite Games Machine, you probably...
I've got one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, does the guy named Matt come with it? Does he deliver it, or do you get him as well? You said it was with Matt.
I think he comes with the game. I think he dances with you. Nice. That's my understanding of it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ah, $250 for a dance partner. I've paid more. That's not bad at all. Yeah, there's a lot of collector's editions and stuff like that here, which I don't know if we necessarily include those, or do we say just the games that are $250 for just the game. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, maybe just the game. There's Mario Party 2 for the Nintendo 64 in box manual, wow, complete. The PAL version is $250. Wow. You guys played Mario Party 2, and is it worth $250?
No and no.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
For something that's going to destroy your vintage Nintendo 64 controller from having to do that, like, you know, all the mini games in the first one had the thing where you had to, like, rotate the stick really fast and it ended up fucking the controller, made it all loose. It's a lot. That's a high price for something that's going to damage your machine permanently.
Yeah, if you include the price of new controllers, it's not. It doesn't even count. What else have we got here? Oh, this is one. This is a great one. The title of it just says League of Legends account OCE 136 champions 88 skins S8 gold. So, I mean, how could we go past that? That seems like real bang for its buck.
I remember back when I used to play World of Warcraft. Well, the last time I played it, in between the two times I'll play it in my life, more than likely, that was a big thing then, is that people would like work up these very powered up, you know, lots of gold and whatever characters, and then sell those accounts, which was illegal, and it was against the, well, not illegal, but against the terms of service and stuff there. But it's good to see that is still flying high as a concept.
Yeah, there's actually a bunch of them. That's just the one that I copied and pasted into my Google Doc, but there was heaps of them that were around $250 and more expensive. So, yeah, good.
Apparently,
good.
Doing stuff like that is a very popular way to money launder, because you can take, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but you can take a stolen credit card, buy a bunch of the microtransaction shit in some game, and then sell on that account for money that is then sort of justifiable as your income. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So if you have a look at the user account of who was selling that, it will say adam.nox .illegal.crime.
You don't think that's kind of tipping your hand a little bit?
No. Hide in plain sight. Can't see the forest for the trees.
Yes. Okay. All right. It's too obvious. All right. What about $250? What about a original Nintendo Game & Watch? The game specified is Manhole.
Ooh.
And a little detail that I think really makes this worth the $250 price tag. It includes two new batteries. So,
oh, awesome. Yeah. $250 for a manhole is $50 less than you'd normally be spending. So that's actually pretty good. Did I steal your joke again, Tommy?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. You were. Was it a joke you were going to say out loud, or was it a joke you were just?
No,
thinking?
I mean, I'm. I put my Game & Watch copy of Manhole up on eBay last week for $250 just to set that joke up for myself on the app.
Do you know, right, there's also the Game & Watch copy of Bomb Sweeper, which is for $250. I guess this person is selling several of them. And I have that. I have a Game & Watch of Bomb Sweeper from like my cousins back in the day gave it to us. So when all this lockdown shit's over and I can get into my parents' garage... lockdown just means they don't want to see me for a while.
They've sure, and get into your parents' garage means you mean move into.
Yeah. Start up that World of Warcraft account again. Yep, let's get going.
Yep.
I might try and dig that up and sell it.
There's also an eBay listing here for $250 for a Game & Watch copy of Up the Bum, No Babies. you guys got anything on that?
Yeah. That was a good one.
That's
Thanks, man.
There is a game. I looked these up last night and I found a game that I was really interested in. Like, I know that you have one of these Game & Watches, Knox, but I sort of was the reverse. I really wanted one of these games that was listed. So
I had two of them I want to point out. I have Popeye as well, which I'm going to look up the fucking price of that.
This game I was drawn to, I had to play it, so I bought it and I got it shipped overnight and I played it today. This is the game Super Noah's Ark for PC. This was $250 and wow. I had to acquire it and I've played it. Would you like to hear my review of the game Super Noah's Ark PC?
Of course I would love to spend time hearing about your review of the game Super Noah's Ark for PC. Wait.
Okay. It's a Wolfenstein 3D
Okay. I'm so sorry. Okay. Just before you start, how many copies of this game did you buy?
Oh, I bought two.
Perfect. Continue.
Yeah, it's a Wolfenstein 3D clone. They just reskinned it. The first thing that appears when you boot it up, it says it's family approved, which is good.
By the Manson mafia. Family, though, which...
I
didn't realize you were winding up for one as well. What am I doing today? I'm fucking stepping on everyone's toes. I'm sorry about this.
Maybe your internet's faster than ours.
It ain't the internet that's faster, baby. Let it be noted for the record that I'm pointing to my beanie that I'm wearing.
Yeah, but I recognized the layout of the opening level of this. It's literally a reskin of Wolfenstein 3D, where you go around putting animals to sleep in its own words, to load them onto the ark. The only weird thing about it is you just walk around shooting like 50 goats. So I think they maybe misread the Bible. There's a different interpretation. Maybe this is a different one of those other, you know, weird printings. But I think their vision of a perfect world included 50 goats and no other animals.
Hell yeah. Do you want to hear my impression of if Noah from the Bible was from New Zealand? Do you want to hear that impression? I've got two different versions.
Do we want to hear this?
There are two different versions.
Are we going to approve this?
I'm not fussed one way or the other.
I think the Zoom call's dropped out, so I can't hear you guys. So I'm just going to go ahead with and blaze on through this. The two different versions are here's Noah as a New Zealander. This is him. He goes, "Oh, okay, I better do this diligently and quite quickly. I'll get all of these animals on and we'll deal with this in a pretty easygoing and yet effective fashion."
Mm-hmm.
That's him.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Checks out.
Yeah.
Oh, and also I'm going to fuck one of these sheep.
Yeah, nice.
I couldn't help myself. Yeah. I really didn't want to do it. Yeah. And I genuinely was compelled. I love New Zealand. The New Zealanders are better than Australians. But I also love Australia and Australians. I'm sorry to make enemies in this episode. I love everyone. Two of every person from every country on the planet. That's what I want to see.
Mm-hmm. Also, Ring Fit Adventure is on eBay for $250.
I had
to buy that. I already owned it, but I bought it again, and it's great. I recommend everyone get it, and that's my genuine review of Ring Fit Adventure.
Nice. Can I tell you how much I looked up that fucking Popeye Game & Watch game?
Mm,
it's going for $1,068.76.
Whoa.
I'm going to fucking look that. I'm going to find that thing and pay my rent.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. There's two guaranteed investments in life, real estate and Popeye Game and Watch games.
Yeah. That's exciting for you, Knox. Your dick must look like it's just eaten a whole bunch of spinach.
There's a little tattoo of a Navy ship. Yeah, nice.
Should we do one more category before we wrap it up?
Yeah, well, we've
gone on for way longer than I think we thought we would.
It's a 250 episode. Why not?
Why not? Yeah. I've got a couple of quick things. Maybe we can check those off before maybe we get into another category.
Okay.
Just a couple of little cheeky guessing games for you boys. Don't get away from Google. Minimize the window.
Yep.
Can you guess what games in the history of video games have sold 250 million copies or more? I'll tell you a little clue. It's a very short list.
Can you tell us how long the list is?
That would be giving it away. Okay, no games have sold more than 250 million copies. But there is one game that is sold over 200 million copies, and you might be able to guess that. It's a pretty big game.
Okay.
GTA 5?
No.
Well, okay. Let me think through this. Because it's not going to be like... There's things like Minecraft that have lots of different versions and is a very, you know, highly played, commonly played game. And this is for copies sold, so it's not going to be a free-to-play game. It would count each entry as a different thing. This isn't a series, right? So it wouldn't be like The Sims, because that would be a series that would have sold a lot.
No, it's one game, but it is multiple platforms, multiple releases, you know, but yeah.
Okay. All right, well, the Wii sold very well, and I know that Wii Sports was a pack-in. Tetris sold very well in all its different versions, and if you count Tetris as one game, it could be that. Like I said, Minecraft has sold well, and I think that might be, just from the top of my head, the best-selling game. So I'm going to guess Hentai Babes Nations.
That is correct. I'm talking about the game that has sold the most to us on the show, and it is definitely Hentai Babes Nations. Tommy, do you have a guess apart from any of those mentioned?
Yeah, I guess it's probably something that's been around for quite a while, so maybe Mario Brothers 1?
That was the highest selling game up until a certain point, up until like the late 90s, I believe. No, it is, I'll put you out of your misery, and because you've already said it,
it's impossible to do. You're never going to be able to end this misery, motherfucker.
No, I'm sending a sniper around to kill you now.
Thank you. 50 Cent, what are you doing here?
It's Minecraft. It is Minecraft. You should have just gone with Minecraft. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Nah, I genuinely thought it was going to be Hentai Babes.
There's another category that actually has three real legit answers. Games with budgets of $250 million or more. There's only three of these.
Okay.
They're all within the past, you know, like 20 years or so. There are games that we have talked about before. I think we've played at least two of these games among us, maybe three of them even.
Red Dead 2, Destiny 2, are either of them in there?
No.
Oh, shit.
Really? Wow.
What are they then? I don't even have a guess beyond those ones. If those are off the mark, then I'm going to be off the mark completely.
A game that was just mentioned about 10 minutes ago, GTA 5, had a budget of over $250 million.
Right. Well, I guess if you make 650 versions of that game, it's going to put the budget up a little bit.
Yeah. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, surprisingly, was also one of these games. Yeah. And this probably didn't come to mind because it's still in development. Maybe that is a clue that we'll tip it off.
Oh, Star Citizen.
Yes, fucking Star Citizen. It might even be the top. It might be the most.
That doesn't count because that's a scam.
I know. If it said scams with budgets of $250 million or more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Star Citizen, insane. The pyramid scheme of video games.
Well, should we move on to our next category? This is games that Okay, so 250. So this is games that have a number 2, a number 5, and a number 0.
I love a confident segment introduction.
Yeah. when an explanation of something has to start with, okay, so 250. It's got those three digits in it, right? 2, 5, and 0.
Yes. Yep, 250.
Games that have a sequel, a prequel, and a fifth one.
Yeah. Not necessarily. So I made a little list of these, and I was taking it slightly more literally at first, because but with something that actually has a game called Zero in it. But yeah, more broadly, these ones have prequel, sequel, and a fifth one.
Mm.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And I reckon we actually can pick a best out of these out of just the second entry, the fifth entry, and the prequel of these series. Those are the only eligible games that we talk about. So what do you have on? I think you and I both have a list, Ben and Tommy, or Tommy and me. Who's got lists here?
I've got your list here, Knox.
Okay, we've got a list, and then you, Tommy, said that you had another one that you wanted to throw in, right?
I have one for at the end that is an example of all three of those at once. Right. It's one game that is,
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm assuming it's from the Hentai Babe series. So we'll start. Yakuza is one of the series that's got Yakuza 2, would be the second one. Yakuza 5 is the fifth one. And then the prequel, the zero one is Yakuza 0.
Yeah,
so we had to think for a while to come up with
confusingly named
that one.
Titles.
But, you've got Final Fantasy, which has Final Fantasy 2.
Mm-hmm.
You got Final Fantasy 5, and then there's a game called Final Fantasy Type 0. Now, technically, that's not a prequel, and technically, none of them are sequels to each other. But it has a 2, a 5, and a 0. In the series, so I believe it's
that
eligible.
Makes me sort of a little predisposed to count it out because I am such a purist. I am such a 250 purist. That's why we're doing this episode. We do all recognize the importance of the number 250, and I think that makes me lean away from the Final Fantasy franchise in this particular ranking exercise.
Fair enough. I will delete it from the list. I'm gonna throw you another controversial one that I do believe belongs on this list. Then, but we'll see.
Okay.
Metal Gear Solid has a 2, it's got a 5, and Metal Gear Solid 3 is a prequel, which makes it 0.
I thought you were going to say Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes.
Oh, there is that, and also Metal Gear 1 and 2 are both prequels, so technically it has 2 zeros. The Metal Gear Solid series has 2 0 entries.
Well, we're not talking about, we're not doing our 2,500th episode, are we, Adam?
Why 2,500? I've missed a...
Because there's 2 zeros.
Yeah.
There's 2 zeros in the franchise.
Right. Okay, yes. Sure. All right, well, we'll wait fucking 15 years or whatever it is until we do Metal Gear Solid then. this is a real one that belongs in the list. I reckon we can get rid of that because there isn't actually... There are several prequel games. Peace Walker is also a prequel, and that was originally meant to be Metal Gear Solid 5. It's too messy. I think we need to get rid of it, like you say, for the sanctity of 250. This is a real one, though. Halo has Halo 2. It's got Halo 5. And one prequel called Halo Reach.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
that
in
counts.
There.
That counts. I still think... On the basis of having the number 0 in the title, the Yakuza franchise is ahead. But, you know, in terms of the actuality of it, I guess, Halo's in there, and Halo, they're good games, some of them.
Halo Reach is only not called 0 as a technicality. You could easily call that game Halo 0. But just having the two O's at the end there sounds a bit silly. I think that's the only reason they didn't.
Okay.
Now, this is another real one that... This next one, it follows the rules to a T. Resident Evil 0, Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 5.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Yep. That's the good shit. Oh, okay.
It's not fucking around.
The prequel actually being numbered as 0 as well. Yep.
I love it. I love this. Are these good games? Is 0 a good game in this franchise?
It was another one of the... It was when people were pretty tired of the sort of tank control style Resident Evils.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is considered a good game. I don't believe I've played Zero, weirdly. I think I played all the others. But I do think that at the time it didn't make too much of a splash because people were a little sick of the traditional Resident Evils. And this was a couple years before Resident Evil 4 came out and shook everything up. So Resident Evil was getting a little long in the tooth at this point.
Okay.
To my recollection, though, this game came out in 2002. I think this is the first time I can remember, at least, a game being called franchise title Zero.
Mm.
So I think it maybe needs a little bit of recognition for that.
Because for sure, yeah.
Yep.
As far as I can remember, it's the first prequel that was called Zero.
All right. I can dig that.
Now, how about this one? Gears of War. You've got Gears of War 2. You've got Gears of War 5, even though it's just called Gears 5. And Gears of War 0, the prequel, is called Gears Judgment.
All right. Okay. Okay. Judgment. Interesting. Is Judgment better than Reach?
No. Judgment was bad. And similar to how people responded to Resident Evil 0, Gears of War Judgment was very much a, we've had enough Gears of War, this is more of the same, get it out of here.
Right.
It came
and personally, I know out of being judged and getting a reach around, I'd prefer the reach.
Exactly.
So that
if Master Chief was going to give you a bit of a Halo reach, you would prefer that.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
I understand. To someone looking at you getting a hand job from the Master Chief and judging you for it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
This is another questionable one, but I want to put it out there anyway. The God of War series has more than 5 entries, even though there technically isn't a God of War 5 at this point. There are 7 of them in total, but 3 of them are prequels to the first one. So it's got 3 zeros, so maybe we need to do this one in like 600 years or whenever we get to that. But there will be a 5th God of War. There's going to be a sequel to that 4th one that came out a couple years ago, so maybe we can preemptively have it on this list.
In terms of quality of games, it will be up there, but in terms of adhering to the strict naming regulations, it's maybe at the bottom.
Whoa. I wouldn't go that far, but all right.
Huge. Well, I'm going there.
Fair enough. And then the last one that I have here is Ace Combat, which has Ace Combat 2, Ace Combat 5, and Ace Combat 0.
Okay. That's a nice, that's a good solid middle of the road entry. Yeah.
So out of those, we're getting rid of the ones that were on the fence and controversial, we've got 5. We've got Yakuza, we've got Halo, we've got Resident Evil, Gears of War, and Ace Combat.
It's, I mean, I haven't played any of them, but it's got to be Yakuza, right? People love all those games equally. There doesn't really seem to be like a big dud in the pile.
Yeah, no. And like, I know you're laughing at him, but surely Tommy is the least biased judge of all.
True. Well, okay, if we take all of them, I liked Halo Reach and I liked Halo 2, but I didn't really like Halo 5.
Right.
I've played some of Yakuza 0, none of 2 and none of 5. I've played none of Resident Evil 0 for some reason, but all of 2 and 5, but didn't like 5. Gears of War, I liked 2, didn't really like 5 that much, didn't like 0. Ace Combat, I haven't played any of those. So...
Yeah, right. I've played Yakuza 0 and loved it. I've played Gears 5 and quite enjoyed it. I believe that is the extent of my experience with these games.
All right. Well, from a very limited experience, but still the definitive opinion, let's rank these from best to worst as how do you feel about this? The exact order that they appear in this list. Yakuza, Halo, Resident Evil, Gears of War, Ace Combat.
Yep, love it. Yep. I think that's pretty scientific.
Flawless.
That's hard to argue with, in my opinion.
And people might argue that we don't have full experience with all of these games from all of these series, but we know deeply the numbers of 2, 5, and 0, which is really what we're here to discuss.
Absolutely.
Yep. So my entry for a game that is all of these simultaneously.
This may render the entire discussion void because this sounds like it's going to trump it all.
You're saying that this is both the sequel and the fifth entry and the zero prequel entry, and it's one game.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, you must be talking about Hentai Babes Nations.
I'm talking about Yoshi's Island, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. Mario's a baby in it, so it's a prequel. And as we know from the Nintendo Big Giga Leak last week or the week before, it was at one point being referred to internally as Super Mario Brothers 5.
Yeah.
Because it is the fifth Mario platforming game.
Wow.
It's a sequel to Super Mario World, and Mario's a baby in it. It's 2, Fuck. 5, and 0. It might be the most pure 250 game that exists.
Fucking hell. You know
it
what?
Absolutely is.
When I was looking up.
If you could find a copy of it for $2.50 or for $250, you'd absolutely be off to the races.
I'm willing to bet that it's been both as well, because $2.50 sounds like something that it would have been discounted to on an eShop, and like an original box copy of a Super Nintendo game was the most common $250 thing that I was seeing looking up the $250 games. This is everything.
Or
this is
could,
all of them.
Or you could maybe make an argument if you look up the cost of a SNES Mini and you work out, you know, how many games are on the SNES Mini, and you know, percentage wise, maybe it's $2.50 worth of a SNES Mini.
Do you know what as well? And this is fucking crazy. The final boss of Yoshi's Island is 50 Cent.
Oh yeah. You're right.
Okay, wow.
Wow. Yeah, and it was released in the year 250 AD, so this absolutely is the ultimate 250 game.
It's the game.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so the winner of most 250 game, the thing we were trying to get to for this whole episode, is Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations, Mr. Miyamoto. Yeah. Yet another accolade to hang on your belt.
And a great game.
It feels like we were building this big brick wall and we finally slotted in the final brick to make it a beautiful, complete wall.
Yep.
And ran headlong into it.
Yes.
Yep. Cool. Well, what a celebration of a beautiful number.
Yep. Yes, I'm sure everyone listening was sort of expecting something, that really celebrated the milestone, that being the importance of the number 250, and I feel like we've really done it justice. I can't imagine how we could have come at that from any more angles than we have.
No. Well, I made a long, long list of games about being a dentist because I thought it was episode 230. End the episode there. Don't even put the end stuff in. Just end it. Nah, I'm editing it. I'll cut out the bit where my Zoom stopped at half an hour in.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening to Filthy Casuals once again. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to our socials, the Patreon, where you can get a bonus episode of the show every week. We also do premium episodes on our Bandcamp. We've got our Let's Plays on YouTube. You can find all that stuff on the website. Whether you've just started listening or whether you've been here from day one, we do appreciate you coming on this crazy-ass little journey with us.
Yes.
We'll be back next week. Stay safe out there. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
CCL, everybody. That's Roman numerals for 250.
Very nice.
Yeah, I googled it. Whatever. Fuck off.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.